do. I owe Sam Barry a rematch because he beat me, and I hadn't played him since then. But I'm on to you. I brought my tennis shoes. I'm gonna change today. All of you that were hot and bothered last time, I didn't change. I will change today. And never in my life had so many people scold me for looking nice. But I will change. Some of you, I know you want to get photos with me. What was it? You were smarting off at me because you said, you know, I was wearing a tie at the hospital. And so I will. You can get photographic evidence that I wear a T-shirt. And how many of you that just excite you? People have problems. And so we're glad. Some of you don't care. I'm sorry. Romans chapter 1. I want to help you today. I want to give you a couple things. I want to go ahead and say at the outset, I'm not making any apologies. But what I'm going to talk about today from the Scripture, what I'm going to preach, is so completely at odds with everything on Hulu and Netflix, everything that's passing for information on television, everything that's being passed as higher education 20 miles around here. It is completely at odds. Truth of the matter is, when you go about 40, 50 and older, and then 40 to 20, and then 20 down, some of you think I am going to have something growing out the side of my head by the time I'm done. I want you to know that this is not the first time in human history that any of this has been controversial. Nowhere close. When this was written, this was unbelievably controversial. The very emperors of Rome were engaged in many of the things we're going to describe here. Many of the people who were being converted were being brought out of these sinful lifestyles. And so when we look at this throughout human history here, and so I want to help you, and I want to help you, and I want to give you some things. And I want you to understand, as I kind of wrap up the warfare idea here today, we're going to bring a new series. We're going to be talking about simple and simplicity next week. I think it'll be a real help to you. But I want you to get that, and I want to give you a hand. I want to give you a hand on what you see in the news. I want to give you a hand on what you see on Netflix and 13 Reasons. I want to give you a handle on Game of Thrones. I want to help you with life today. And I want to help you see how people get where they get, and how you can be free, and they can be free. How many of you think that sounds like a good idea? Good idea. Just one last time, let's pay honor to God and His Word. Read the Scripture with me. If you'll stand, if you're willing and able to pay honor to God and His Word, all of you that are able, thank you for that. Verse 16, the Bible says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God to salvation. Everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith, the faith that is written, the just shall live by faith, not by works, not by membership, not by heredity, not by race. It is an individual matter. We call it believer's baptism. It was an outward sign of an inward change. Why? Because the justified are those who have put their faith and trust in God. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is unveiled, revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, that's wrong thinking about God, and unrighteousness, that's wrong actions of men. People exist today in a state of God's wrath. We go out into a harvest field of God's wrath. People are in trouble, and they know it or they don't think they know it as they shake their fist against God. Why? Number one, they hold or suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Don't ever forget, people don't go from ignorance to God. They go from knowledge of God to ignorance. They go from who God is and the right and wrong that God's built into them. They move away from that and they begin to rebel against that. They suppress that. Our world teaches us that men are ignorant and that they need to know something about God. The Bible says they know something about God and they choose ignorance. They choose idolatry, verse 19. What do they know? Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse. I don't want to re-preach everything. Verse 20, you can go online and listen to, watch the sermon. Verse 21, because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. We parked here last week. I gave you 8 or 9 ideas. What does it mean to glorify Him? If you missed last week, you owe it to yourself to watch that. Very helpful from the Scriptures. What does it mean? How do I know if my life is trying to glorify Him? Neither were they thankful, whereas we're pick up today. Came vain in their imaginations, their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Say, I dated a creeping thing. That's not what he's talking about here. Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own body between themselves, our theme verse, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. We'll stop there. Pray with me. Father, up and down each row, each aisle, all the folks that watch today and watching the days to come, everyone who this will be shared with, Father, I ask you to help and to be with them. I pray, Father, that you'd be honored and glorified right now. Help me as I preach. I pray I'd preach pastorally. I pray there'd be no hint of anything other than a heart that's broken for broken people. And I pray you'd help that be conveyed to us. Lord, I love you and I need you. Spirit of God, use me and fill me. Direct my thoughts, Lord. Lord, I've been just so full of this message for weeks now. I pray I'd get it all out. I'd do it timely. I'd speak well. I'd elocute in a way that's understandable. And the folks all the way from those who are tuned into their devices to the ones who are eager and hungry, that everyone would hear the word and be changed. We love you and we need you this morning. I pray it all in Christ's precious name. And amen. You can be seated. Be seated. Let me give you a couple words, a couple things to write down here as we begin. You can flip your program over on the back and you can write a couple of these things down. Number one, mean is mean. Mean is mean. M-E-A-N. Mean is mean. How many of you can remember that? Write it on the back. Right? Mean is mean. When we talk about sinful things and sinful ideas, just I want to help you. Mean is mean. Somebody's mean and ugly, just mean and ugly. I don't care what comes after that. I don't care whatever comes after that. Just being mean, just being mean. Excuse me. If you don't like a person because of the way they look or the way they act, and you're just being mean to them, you're just being mean. Everybody nod your head here. Okay. Don't hide behind Christianity. Don't hide behind religion. Mean's mean. Number two, hate. Hate. Funniest thing in the world to me right now is people say, all those Christians, they need to be shut up and they need to be locked up and they need to be all those things because they're just full of hate. You know, and they're just foaming at the mouth. And I'm thinking, if I met that person in a dark alley, I'd just give them my money and run. Amen. And they are very hateful because they're angry with other people who hate. Nod your head if you understand the irony there. Hate. I don't really care which direction you're coming at things. Hateful is being hateful. Hateful is being hateful. Mean's mean and hateful is hateful. Nod your head if you understand it. Excuse me. To say something is wrong, number three, is not hateful. To say something is wrong is not hateful. Not hateful. How many of you in here are big eggplant fans? Anybody? I'm fixing to upset you. I want it smothered in something, but if you give me boiled eggplant, I figure I have offended you. At least give me some salt. I'm not usually going to order it. I might eat eggplant parmesan, but I'm not really going to order it. If you have me over to your house Thanksgiving and you got a bunch of beets on the table and you slide them on my plate, I will eat them. But I'm not ordering beets too often. You say, wait. To say it is not wrong. Everybody with me here? We're in a culture now where you say something is wrong or something is right because I disagree with you, that makes you wrong here. Let me help you here. That's not hateful. You don't have to agree with me. Truth of the matter, it doesn't really matter if you agree with me. But when God says something, you better pay attention to Him, and that's not being hateful. That's not being hateful here. It's the craziest thing in the world now. If you say something's wrong or something's right, that's hateful. No, that's propaganda. And that's the newest thing here. We borrowed it from Europe. And Europe borrowed it from other places, and we've borrowed this idea here. So to say something is wrong is not hateful. With all that in mind, I'm going to walk you through. I want you to see the casualties of this war. I want you to see why people packed downtown last night and woke up grasping for an aspirin bottle. I want you to see why so many folks have so much heartache. I want you to see the casualties of war. If you listen to television, if you read a little bit, if you think a little bit, if you talk to people who seem to have all the answers sometimes and they're pushing out things, they will tell you that, well, you've just the church is missing out. I don't think that's the case. Well, you know, it would just, and almost like God's missing out. I got news for you. God's not missed out on anything. If anybody loses, it's you and I when we don't listen to him. If anybody loses it all. And the casualties of this war are the people who are broken. And I want to walk you through that. I want you to see the descent into brokenness. The descent into brokenness. Look, let me give you the four steps here. Number one, first step is rejection. Rejection. All the way back up, excuse me, in verse number 18. They hold the truth in unrighteousness. They suppress the truth. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. They silence it out. They put their earbuds in. They don't want to hear it. They feast on television or entertainment. They don't want to hear it. They go, all these things, I don't want to hear it. One of the first things you can see as you descend away from God, as you hurdle yourself toward brokenness, is that you try and remove any instances of truth around you. God is my witness. 26 years now. Full house, empty house. I'm happy or sad, just like anybody else would be. But I'm not looking at, man, we had 100 a day, we had 200 a day. I'm going, man, I wonder, man, it's 3 weeks in a row. That's 4 weeks in a row. That's 6 weeks in a row. What's going on there? What's going on there? Man, I don't want anything bad to happen. I don't want them to run from God. I don't want their absence from the house of God to mean they've stopped listening to the Word of God. Because to reject Him, I'm tired, I don't want to hear it. People talk about, man, when they get 17 or 18, I'm done, I'm out of here. Why? Because they've been trying to reject the truth in their heart for a while. They just finally got old enough they could do something about it. And He says they take this and they push it away. Push it away. Step number two, we preached about that 2 weeks. They rebel. They rebel. We said last week, because that which may be known of God is, because that when they knew God, look at verse 21, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, became vain in their imaginations, their foolish heart was darkened. He gives us a couple of steps here. They start off, they don't glorify Him. Their life does not give Him the proper credit. They don't give the right opinion of Him. You heard me say it before. We tell it to our kids. They don't spend the night as much as we did as growing up. My mom, dad, didn't matter who dropped us off. Usually it was my mom. They'd look at us, Brother Ron. My mom would say something like this. Remember who you belong to. And you might have thought that was a positive. It was a threat. And remember who you belong to. And then if it was my mom, she would say the thing that mothers say. I will know if you act up. I'm convinced before there was ever spy cams and Wi-Fi, my mom knew what was going on. I reckon because I looked guilty the next day, amen? And mom would ask, and mom would know. How many of you believe mom's got that kind of superpower here? How many of you are still scared of most of the women in your life? And they're here. Every now and then, I'll be around some of my dad's old friends or something. I'll be around his living brothers or his nephews or something. Best compliment they'll pay my brother and I. Best compliment without a thing. Your dad would be proud of you. That's something your dad would do. Boy, that's a good thing. And again, they mean it just sometimes conversationally, but they're saying you're giving the right opinion of the man who raised you. Let me help you here. When you glorify God correctly, you're saying, I'm giving the right opinion of Him. Think about it like a concave mirror. God there and His presence in us, and people don't see God, but they see us, and we're given the right opinion of Him. They said the first thing they want to do, they're not interested at all in God's opinion or giving the right opinion of Him. Number two says they were unthankful. They were ungrateful. You want to watch a rebellious heart? Me, mine, more, more. Slam things down, break things, don't care, take care of things. Don't care about stuff. Don't care about being nice and thankful to others. An ungrateful heart is a sign of a rebellious heart. Say, it's good manners. Baloney. It's at least good manners. It's at least good manners. To be grateful. To be grateful. Worst thing in the world, man, is an employer and he got employees or she's got employees and they got somebody and they mistreat that, and they're not even remotely thankful. They've even got a job. The Hardys here in Carnes, it's been in the news lately, not for good reasons. They've scored two unbelievably low scores. Blah, blah, blah. The last score they had, the guy said, the microwave was unbelievably dirty. And Brother Glaspie loves this heart. He's blessed his heart. And they said the floors were unbelievably dirty. And said the man, I reckon, handled cash and then went back and handled a burger. Didn't wash his hands. Some of you have a lawsuit, I suppose, waiting. And there, I read that and I thought two things. One, I ain't eating there for a while. Nod your head if everybody thinks the preacher's got some wisdom there. Number two, what kind of employee, not the first time the health department comes, nod your head with me, but the second time they come, and it's still bad. And then the pièce de résistance, they said there was cobwebs running the length of the kitchen. How many of you like a little protein in your food, amen? Man, you got a job. Apparently you got a job without a lot of supervision. How do you deep six the place you work? Man, you're ungrateful. You can watch it in a young child, in a teenager, when they are ungrateful. That is a heart that's screaming rebellion. That's their first outlet there. It says they rebelled. They were ungrateful. They flipped the truth around. Read the verses with me. Neither were they thankful, became empty or vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise. They became fools. They say good is bad and bad is good. They've exchanged philosophy. Let me help you. You put all the degrees you want to after your name. I got a little education, not a whole lot. Excuse me. I used to tell people I'm officially ignorant and I have papers to prove it. Some of those educated people I know have the least amount of truth in them. I'm not scurrying it. If you've earned a PhD or MDiv, if you got two or three things after your name, my hat is off to you. But when you say bad is good and good is bad, then you have entered into empty philosophy. Amen. You have entered into something that does not matter. It's an amazing thing to me. Folks go to unbelievers for help about all kinds of things who by definition have said, I don't believe that God is right and I don't believe this is wrong and I don't believe this is right. And you've gone and said, help me fix my life. Now, they can't help you fix anything because they don't have anywhere to go. They've exchanged light for darkness and they've exchanged darkness for light and they've called all these things around. Lionel, pastor who was here and the vice president of our denomination down in Cuba, he sent me a note yesterday. And he said, my kids, he said, in the communism and the propaganda in the schools, he said, my kids go back to school on Monday. He said, it's war time again. Because they're going to go, there is no God, there is no this, there is no that. And they're going to give it to them 8 hours a day. And then he's got to get them home and he's got to blow it out of them, fix it out of them at night. Why? Because they've embraced that. They don't hide it some ways like we do here. Up here at Pellissippi, they're having a lecture and talking about the joys of Darwinism and all. And I plan to be there. I plan to be in the front row if I can get there early enough. And I hope he does a Q&A. I'm not going to be mean or snarky, but I got at least a question or two. if the Big Bang, when everything started, what was there before the Big Bang? If all matter came from a great big explosion, what was there before the explosion? excuse me. I've got at least a couple of questions I need an answer to. If you're going to take the thesis that aliens came, then where did aliens come from? Amen. It's a hard thing to believe that in 2017, the best minds in Britain right now say that aliens came and seeded life here on Earth. How many of you feel a lot better about that, knowing the smartest people in the world go, it was little green men who came here and started everything? No, we don't look like little green men, right? But they came here and they kind of shook everything up and did a little quick mix in the soil, and then they took off and hope for the best, right? How many of you think that's a good idea? Amen? That's bad is good and good is bad, and all the things are inverted here. There is no restraints, by the way. There's no restraints. Craziest thing in the world to me about Better Call Saul and all those type of shows like that and the Sons of Anarchy, and the craziest thing in the world about me is those very honest shows. People loved them, eat them up. T-shirts, tattoos, the whole nine yards. And they're just as honest as they can be. They're Hollywoodized, but they're just... And it bothers me that people who know better, see all that violence and all that stuff glorified, and they're just completely honest. Men without moral restraint, this is what they do. This is how they live. We understand this. You cannot, there is no way to say you are a good person without God's help. Because there is none good, no, not one. And when you reject the truth of God and you get used to rebelling against God, you all of a sudden understand that there's just no restraints. There's just no restraints. You go to some of the countries where they've rejected everything and they don't have a Christian heritage and background, and you see the things that are going on. Somebody told me the other day they were going on a cruise to Mexico. I said, God bless you. We got missionaries down in Mexico City who were buying a can of hairspray and a tube of toothpaste, and they came by and they used a zip gun and they took half the building apart there. He's on the ground, shampoo and all that stuff squirting on his head. His little boy screaming and crying. This was 12 o'clock in the afternoon in the middle of town, and somebody came by and said, we just wanted to make a little statement here. That's anarchy. That's no restraints, because you think your philosophy is better. Now let me help you here. Anybody starting to see East Tennessee? And anybody even starting to see America? Anybody starting to see our larger cities? Anybody starting to see the things go on? Some of you got security systems at home. You got cameras at home. You got all these things. Why? Because there's just no restraints here. Let me help you. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 13. Evil men and seducers are waxed worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. This is why. Because you start thinking this way. See, there's idolatry involved. So what do you mean? Satan, Garden of Eden, he comes down, takes over that snake, that serpent, talks to him, deceives them. We give him credit for being the deceiver. Let me help you. You go to the Old Testament, you go to the minor prophets there. We see this wonderful, amazing scene in heaven. And Satan, Lucifer, this angel of light, and he deceives himself, first of all. See, Satan's the ultimate deceiver and the ultimate thief. Satan will keep fighting because he thinks he can beat God. He's learned to lie to himself. See, in all this path of brokenness, won't be me. Won't be me in a mess. Won't be me in a mess. I can cheat on my wife. It won't be me. Won't be me. I can cheat on my husband. It won't be me. I can take those drugs. It won't be me. I can get drunk. It won't be me. I can fool around and not get a disease. It won't be me. I can fool around and not get pregnant. It won't be me. The rules apply to, won't be me. It's idolatry. Idolatry says they change what? They change the corruptible glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, to birds, to four-footed beast and creeping thing. There are over 300 billion idols in India and false gods. They take the manure that comes from the animals. Mind you, because they won't touch the animals because they believe they're reincarnated parents and family members, they will take the manure and they'll cook with it, use it for wood, and then they'll take and they'll fashion it into an idol and they'll bow down and pray to it. They'll take their meager food, set a plate, and put it in front of an idol that they made that a cow left behind after it chewed up some grass. See, we don't do that. You walk in a lot of churches, they got a statue here and a statue there. They got an image here and an image there. We are up to our eyeballs in idolatry here in the United States. You go by places and you see the things. Excuse me. You publish a picture of what Muhammad's supposed to look like, they'll come burn your building to the ground here because they're saying you're engaging in idolatry. And what they are is reverse idolatry. Look right up here. And this is devil worship. Say, prove that to me, Pastor. 1 Corinthians 10:20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would that you would not have fellowship with devils. Let me help you a little bit here. If you got dream catchers and all those kind of stuff, if you got statues and crystals and all in there, you're just playing with the edges of this. You ought to get rid of it now. You ought not to substitute anything for the worship of the true God. You're just asking for other things and for other troubles. They rationalize. They rationalize. Step number three. It says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They rationalized. Finally, God gives them up. God gives them up. Wherefore, verse 24, look in your Bibles, look in your tablets here. I'm done. I got about 5 minutes. Everybody still with me? Say amen. Amen. Look at verse 24. Wherefore, God gave them up. The worst judgment God can do is leave you alone. Best friend you've got, somebody bugging you to death to get right with God. Best friend you've got. Wherefore God gave them up. Look what happens. To uncleanness is a general word. Through the lust of their own hearts. Notice it's an internal to an external. To dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who was blessed forever. They go from external idolatry to internal idolatry. Man is a measure of all things. One of the most idolatrous things you can think and you can say is, well, I know what the Bible says, comma, but. Or I don't care what the Bible says, comma, but. That's your opinion. Again, we're just trading opinions here. That's fine. I don't think the Steelers made such a good deal getting rid of Sammy Coates. We'll talk shop all day. But we're talking about right and wrong, what the Bible is unequivocal about. It absolutely matters. And when you say, well, that's just this and that's just that, you've just told me that you are the measure of all things. Well, I don't think this is wrong. It doesn't matter what you think. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? It says God gave him up. God gave him up. See, man can't stop sinning. I'm done. Look at me. Don't miss. If you've tuned out the rest of the sermon, listen to this. I used the R just to make it easy to remember. But what I just laid out is brokenness. A woman who's betrayed her marriage vows, that's brokenness. A woman who's so repulsed. She goes to bed with another woman. Look right here. Suicide rate among homosexuals is astronomical. You say that's because of external persecution. You go to Europe where there's not that much of it, and suicide rate's even higher. Look at me. Is not people picking on people who do things that they think are weird, is the fact that you were rebelling against the Creator and you were not designed that way. When you say I do, you ought to say I do. See, that's so strange. Remember what I said, mean is mean, hate is hate. Saying something's wrong is not hateful. I don't care what your public school teachers say, and I sure don't care what's going on Netflix. That's brokenness. That's brokenness. Brokenness says, I'm the measure of all things, and I can't satisfy. Brokenness says, I got to have two or three cold ones so I can take a good night's sleep. Brokenness says, it's 11 o'clock, and I got to have something to drink. That's brokenness. Every now and then, I think preachers or church people, sometimes we talk about this kind of thing like we are just furious with people in this list of sins. These people are broken. They have foolishly rejected the truth of God. They have gotten really good at rebelling against the truth of God. They've made peace with it in their minds and found other people to accept what they're saying and what they're selling, and all of a sudden, they're in a world of hurt. They're in misery. They're broken. They're broken. It's a descent. By the way, the whole time the Holy Spirit's going, no, 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 don't, no, 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 don't. Don't. It's not going to end well. I think sometimes young people hear somebody like me talking and say, you're just trying to keep me from having fun. You're just trying to keep me from enjoying life. I'm trying to keep you to enjoy life and have the greatest life you could ever have. And that life is found inside the confines of what God has revealed to us in His Word. He designed us. He created. He knows how to for us to be the most joyful and to be the happiest in our lives. There's nothing in my heart make me any happier to find you right in the center of God's perfect will. I texted one of our college students yesterday, Friday, and I said, I'm praying for you to have good godly friends and to have the priority of study and that you'll find a community of faith where you are that'll help you to live for God. Why would you say it? Because that's my heart, because I know that will make them an unbelievably happy and joyful person. Why? Because God says if you take the alternative, you end up broken. You end up broken. See, it won't happen to me. Won't happen to me. No. See, people don't start in ignorance and move toward God. They always move away from God to judgment. It never works out well. It never works out well. Let me help you. It's for unsaved, non-Christ followers. Let me help you right here. And this is for folks who say they know Christ too. When they get used to rebelling against the truth of God's word and they start loving their sin, they just invite the chastisement of God on their life. Some of the most miserable people in the United States, in East Tennessee, are people who say they know Jesus, who are living in unrepentant sin, and God says, please don't do that, please don't do that, please don't do that. And He keeps getting their attention. See, people move this way. People move this way. People descend into brokenness. When I say I watch what I want to and do what I want to, don't miss the last verse. Flip to verse 32. I got to stop. Who knowing the judgment of God, look at verse 31. Without understanding, covenant breaker, without natural affection, implacable and merciful. We used to talk about father love and mother love. You know what I figured out? If you love yourself enough and love your sin enough, you won't even act like a mom. You won't even act like a dad. You won't even act like a youngin'. Broken. Who knowing the judgment of God, they say which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Voyeurism. We call it pornography. We call it all kinds of things now. The old idea is voyeurism. I am excited by that. I have well-meaning people ask me if I watch Game of Thrones. And I, because the intricate storyline, I really sincerely think they're being kind. They think I'd like something that's hard to follow, and I always say the same thing. You know, before Martin ever got on TV, Martin written these books. He wrote them, and said he wanted an anti-Tolkien. He wanted an anti-Lord of the Rings. He wanted something where there's no God and everything's bad. And it's awful. And so he wrote those books. They've been picked up, and they're about done, I think, to run on HBO. And I'm very kind. But I just want to look at somebody and say, you mean the Game of Thrones, where there's so much nudity? So much nudity? So much vileness, where they filmed a simulated rape sex, a rape situation, and then doubled down that they would not take it out, despite the fact that their demographic of people who watches it is in the low teen years. God help all the parents who just let everybody watch whatever they want. Give me an amen, somebody. That's what I want to say. What do you mean? You know what it is? It's voyeurism. I watched the lady who's the Queen of the North or whatever the title is. I keep up, but I've never seen a moment of it. She's being interviewed. She says she's in England. The episode's up. The episode or whatever. She's watching it with her mom and dad. They look at her and say, they say, well, how was that? She said it was awkward. But they understood I did it for artistic purposes. To his credit, the interviewer. So that's what we're calling art now. That's brokenness. People descend in it. They get there, and they're the casualty of war. That's the last slide. Look at me if you're taking notes. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Let me give you the good news. This is a story. But God commended His love toward, there's a two-letter word there that's unbelievable, us. Who's us? Chapter 1. all the way through. The people who have rejected the truth of God, rebelled against the truth of God, who've made peace with it and swapped out good and bad. And finally, the people who have descended into all this darkness. It's on all these sexual sins and all these mental sins and all this idolatry and all this jazz. Basically, the world that you and I live in. But God commended His love toward us. Wait for it, in case you didn't catch it. In that while we were yet sinners. Sinners? That sounds a lot like I just read in chapter 1, didn't it? While we were all these things, while we were yet sinners, Christ, here it is, He died for us. To all those in all this stuff, in all this brokenness, in all this scheming, to all of you who've, for whatever reason, given away your virginity, for all of you who are experimenting with drugs and alcohol, for all of you who've made a mess of this and that and the other, for all of you who've got all this baggage, God said to you, the victims of the war, casualties, I died for you. God commends His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Say, the spiritual war, Satan versus God. Spiritual war is us versus God. We always lose. God's poured His wrath out on us. But the same God who poured His wrath out on us poured His wrath out on Jesus and said, He can take your place and He can pay the penalty for your sin and He can make sure that you're right with me and I can change your life and take care of the baggage and change everything about you and one day you'll come and live with me. Man, that is the answer. He is victorious. He is the reigning ruler. And if you're here today with all that other and you feel so guilty and you feel so helpless and you feel so hopeless, I got great news. He's won. He's won. He can change everything. He can rewrite your story starting today. Pray with me.